Hi, this is Carolyn from The Signal and Tales from the Verse, and you're listening to Buffy Between the Lines.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Roney from JRDOnline.com, and I want to welcome you to Buffy Between the Lines commentary for A Winter's Tale. And I'm here with Tabitha Smith and Kim Butler.
Hi.
Hey there.
I'm stalking them through Skype, and so they've been kind enough to record this. So we're going to talk a little bit about Buffy Season 1, Season 2, some fun things. I need to just kind of start here is that I come from a Star Wars fan audio group.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew you guys existed. First of all, you guys get a star on some walk of fame somewhere for recording music and singing.
Yes.
I mean,
that was all Kim's idea. And I said, okay. And especially this episode, doing all of the music and not without any accompaniment. And it still sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It still blows me away. And I've played the music for people, and especially the Carol of the Bells, which you'll hear in A Winter's Tale. And they just go, wait, you guys weren't all in the same place and recorded that? Really?
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm a singer, and I've always been a singer. And so, you know, any chance I get to sing, I'm thrilled. So I thought, oh, let's do something fun with the Christmas stuff. And then I knew that there were quite a few pretty talented people in that we have in our cast and whatnot. So I just sort of put out a little call to some of the people that I knew were, you know, had some ability and just saw who was willing to bite. There were a few people that I would love to get singing in future stuff, but they were unable to contribute this go around. But yeah, it was really a neat project to work on, but a lot of work. And I had like my little, I had a consultant that I basically would like send different editions. I'm like, okay, what about this version? You know, and she'd be like, okay, now the soprano is off this way and we need to do this. And so I was constantly editing it and trying to piece it all together to make sure that everything was timed properly and sounded okay. But I'm pretty pleased with the end product.
Yeah, so. That was Larissa, by the way. And it was funny. Yes. One of the things that I think really got us stuck on, we can do our own music and sing our own music, was Larissa's application back when we were auditioning. She put on there she put samples of her music and stuff like that. Oh. So between her and other people, it was funny. It's like, you know, actors who put on, you know, they can bareback ride and stuff like that, and on their little acting sheets that they hand out.
Sure.
Where you'd like, yeah, I don't really need this talent for a podcast, but I'll just throw it on here to impress you. And so it kind of was like that. And then we were so intrigued that Kim said, can we do this for The Winter's Tale? And I said, well, okay, let's try it. And I was kind of dubious at first, because it's really hard to record on the equipment that we have. You know, none of us have a professional music recording studio, but it still sounds amazing. So I was very, very pleased.
And, you know, I don't want to just focus on that, but that was one thing that did blow me away. First of all, being raised by a single mom, I know the, you know, you ladies, you know, are really critical of yourself, and especially your singing. You know, and first of all, you know, just kind of take a step out and try it, but then do it and do it so well. I mean, you guys really, honestly, okay. Anyway, I've made my point, but that was one thing I did want to say.
Oh, thank you.
So, yes, okay. You should feel very proud of that. Another thing is you guys take a lot of risks. And that's what I really like about a lot of the episodes is you guys take risks. And I think that is not really done enough. I think a lot of people really want to play it safe. And like there was one point when let's see, it was the, gosh, I forgot his name. Anyway, the Watcher guy, sorry.
Giles.
Giles, when he was reading, or he was reading something. And then a voice in the background was reading it also. And then the crossfade. I mean, that kind of stuff is so hard to pull off, you know. And but that's just, I mean, that's what really I really like about this episode and probably all your episodes. I've listened to a couple of other ones, but just you guys are so creative that you'll just try something, and it works, and it's. That's the one thing I really took away from this is that it just, you know, you guys really take a lot of risk and you guys are really creative. So hats off.
Thank you. Well, it doesn't always work, though. I have to admit the bumper for episode 2 was not a big favorite. So,
the
you know,
bumper for episode 2.
Yeah. Between for the LA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The transition.
The transition.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
but yeah.
always, you know, I mean, always get in there and slug it out. I mean, you know, some things aren't going to stick. Some things are, but, you know.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, I don't think most of our writers have never written for audio before. So I think that helps us in a way. It's kind of harmful in a way because they do stuff like, walks over to the table and looks really sad. And you're like, you can't see this.
Yeah.
You now
puts a coffee cup down.
Yeah.
It could be anything at this point. I don't know if it's a coffee cup. but in another sense, it really helps with knowing what, not being afraid to do stuff that it's new. And I think where I've listened to other audio dramas, I think they have played it safe and they make it very simple on themselves. And I understand because it takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to edit these wonderful pieces. Yeah. And Nick, who is one of our editors, and I pretty much have figured out that it's about an hour for every finished minute of editing for our productions. And we have an upcoming episode where there'll be a lot more of that overlapping and people have to sound the same and it's a pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that a lot of it has to do with timing. It's much like what I did with the music, you know, like one person records a piece and then other people have to record pieces that match it. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of, I mean, with those kinds of things, we do that kind of thing. But yeah, we do have some pretty daring things, especially in a couple upcoming episodes. We have voice changings and craziness, really.
I mean, you know, again, my hat's off to you. You know, Tabs. May I call you Tabs?
You may call me Tabs.
Great. Now, when a new episode comes to you, the process, how do you think as a producer? You know, what do you do? What are the kind of steps do you do in a process of a new episode?
Of a new episode. Well, first off, we had done this and we're doing this right now. So we plot out the entire series basically. And I write the major plot points of what needs to happen when I figure out which episodes are based on which characters. And this season especially is every episode has their main character that it focuses on. And then I assign the writers and they write. Do their thing. They ask questions of me sometimes, but mostly they're on their own. I also gave a theme for the seasons that I really wanted to sneak into the episodes, not, you know, blow you over the head, but I wanted to put that in here. And all of them so far have hit the nail on the head with the theme and the kind of subject matters. And that's another place I think we've been a little bit risky is some of the things we've brought out of the characters themselves, because these are characters that people love and are very invested in. And some of the things we've said and some of the things we're going to say are kind of risky.
Okay.
Yes.
Especially the final episode, but That's for me to know, and nobody else.
I understand that, and I'm not asking. Okay.
So that goes through, and then we have a wonderful, beautiful team of beta editors, which I would never want their job. So I am very, very grateful for them. They edit not only for grammar and style and stuff like that, but they also edit because they're such big Buffy fans. They edit stuff in and like, according to this episode, this happened. So this can't happen. You can't say that. And they were excellent at doing that. And then it goes back to the writer who edits and does a second draft for me. And then it goes to me and Kim and we do a third draft, final draft. Yeah.
And mostly what Tabs and I do is we look it over and mostly throw in stuff that relates to other episodes that other writers have written.
Mm. Right. Since the writers all wrote at the same time and independent of each other, mostly a couple of them worked on an episode together, but none of them really, other than the big major plot points, they didn't get to read the episodes while they wrote theirs. We don't do them in chronological order. It's just 12 episodes written at the same time.
Wow.
So we add in the little nuancey things and the little references to previous episodes that are a big thing with Buffy and Angel and Firefly fans, is that kind of things that are mentioned in previous episodes don't just exist in that episode. They come into other episodes.
It's very much like Lost and other things, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, yeah, so. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just the writing part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
We're still in the writing part. So then the scripts go to the actors. We've named everything script number and then scene number. Hmm. So they record by scene. They record everything for their scene. They name it the scene number and the script number and scene number and then their character's name. And our talent manager puts together a deadline Excel sheet. And then we do some of the more important, the more emotional scenes over Skype, where everybody records their own end, just so the actors can play off of each other and get that kind of emotional vibe going on. Hmm. It's kind of hard to do when you're on your own.
Right.
But we try not to do all of the scenes like that, because then we would be here for 12 years in between episodes, because it takes so long to orchestrate that many people together in one space and time.
Yeah, and then to wait through all the Skype drops and whatnot.
Right. And then our talented editors, they also edit by scene. We tried to do it at the beginning where one editor did a whole episode and it was just way too much.
Yeah.
So individual editors will do each scene and then one person puts them all together, checks all the levels, adds in the different parts that are missing, the promos and the end credits and the music. But before the music gets done, I send it off to Austin, who's our fantastic original composer. Hmm. And he listens and records beautiful music to go under the pieces that he thinks need music. I don't direct him in any way for that. He has that that heartbeat to know where music should be and where it shouldn't be. So, and he's done a fantastic job. We just got a review that said he reminds them of the musician from the composer for the Buffy series, Christopher Beck.
Wow.
And that's probably the highest compliment. I mean, I'm sure he was glowing when I sent it to him. Because that's what he said when he originally applied for the job. He's like, I love Christopher Beck and I want to be like Christopher Beck in this sense. And so, so then all the music gets sent back to me and I throw it in with all of the episode, tag it and all the fun stuff you have to do for a podcast episode and put it up on the feed and it goes out to the masses.
Yep.
Wow.
And these, I mean, of course, these steps happen concurrently in a lot of situations. Since we have all the scripts at once, we're able to then start releasing them. We do release them in order, but one of them might be recording while another one's being edited. And then, yet a third one is being, put together for the music or whatnot. So, so we try to keep it on a pretty regular rolling scale.
Okay. I'm going to geek out. A couple of questions for you. Number one, I read somewhere that somebody said nobody cares about a project that they don't own. How in the world do you keep a group of people that are so committed to this, and yet, you know, they're not producing it. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, people love the show, and that's mm-hmm. huge. Mm-hmm. But another part of it, I think, is Tabitha is excellent at wrangling up all the feedback that we get and sharing it with the cast and the crew, so that everybody sort of gets a chance to get, you know, to get an idea of how people are receiving them and us all together. I think that, gosh, and some of our actors are extremely popular. So, I mean, and then we get some very moving emails from people. We get some really great feedback from our fans, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think the feedback's a good one. And then just Kim and I are very conscious of telling people, you're amazing, you've done a great job, you've helped us out. And it's true. I mean,
yeah, they are.
We have 100 people working on this. And if it was just Kim and I, we would die, because obviously we can't do all the voices. But if we were doing everything else, all of the little things, the stuff that may not feel as important, if we were doing all of that stuff, and I've told people this, I said, you know, you little people, you know, don't feel like you're little people, because if it wasn't for you, I would be spending 120 hours a week on this.
Sure.
And no, none of the episodes would come out.
Now, how many of the other folks that you're working with do their own podcasts or shows?
I would say there's about 10 or 20.
I would say around 10, probably.
Yeah, 10, probably.
Okay. And you probably have a lot more than 10 folks helping you.
We have about 100 people.
And there was a lot of our cast and crew were like, this sounds really interesting. I have no idea what a podcast is.
Wow. Again, I think what's interesting is, coming from a testosterone-edged fan audio group, it is really refreshing, I think, to hear a group that's manned by females. Pardon the pun. And you guys create these great scripts that do have an emotional pull. And you just mentioned, you know, some of the feedback is, you know, it moved me, it touched me in a certain way and all that. And that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, the feedback that we've gotten. If it doesn't move you, I think we've even had guys that cried over it. So if it doesn't move you, there's something wrong with you. We have, and I know I've mentioned this story, but there's a couple other stories too. But we have this one fan named Josh, and Josh loves Buffy, and he loves Angel, and he loves Joss Whedon works. And he was so sad when it went off the air, and he has the DVDs and he watches them, of course. But Josh has doesn't have the ability to read the comic books. And he was so excited when he got when he found our podcast, and he can't type, and because he has extreme cerebral palsy, and he's 26 years old, and which is how old I am. So it really touches me.
Sure.
And he just is, every Saturday he wakes up early to see if Buffy Between the Lines is out, and his mom writes us, and he wrote us on a headset that translates it into text, and, you know, sent us an email. And just the fact that he did that just blew me away, because it's hard for him.
Yeah.
And he took the extra effort to email us and tell us how much he loved the podcast. So we've been emailing back and forth with him, and the cast and crew put together a little audio thing for him, telling him how awesome it was to get his emails. And it's one of those things where it's not something I would have predicted, you know, when we did this. We did this because we love the show, we love the fans, but not because we were thinking, oh, yeah, when we can enrich somebody's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep thinking if I weren't actually involved in this, I would be just a rabid fan, because it's, what I feel like is we've sort of brought the show back to life to some degree, mm-hmm. and we've been able to sort of animate things in just to a higher level than, you know, just fanfic. And I'm just, so you know, there is tons of fanfic out there, mm-hmm. and lots of it is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But I really think, you know, this is sort of the next step, and I love it. I mean, it's just been so awesome to be able to be a part of, even.
And I've read a ton of fanfic. One of my podcasts is just about fanfic, and I've read tons of comments that people have left for fanfic, and they've said, wow, this is really great, this is moving, this really touched me. But we're getting comments like, thank you for bringing Buffy back. And that just floors me. And comments like, it's so good, it might as well have been written by Joss Whedon.
Yeah, and thank you guys. Thank you, everyone,
yeah.
for that.
Oh, yeah, kind of totally. Because awesome. We have no delusions of grandeur about being Joss Whedon. There's no way I could ever even match that. But, and I think the difference is we have a team of people working on this, team of passionate, dedicated fans that everybody contributes. You know, I don't try to lord and master over everything and say, this is how it must be done and it must be like this. Other than the, you know, the couple things that I'm a stickler about. But I think that has contributed. I got into a discussion with this about a couple other radio drama people, and they were asking, you know, do you prefer writing your entirely your own stuff or co-writing with somebody? And I said, well, we take it a step beyond co-writing. There's 7 authors of Buffy Between the Lines, and we all work together on it. And they were like, how do you do it? How do you share your creative muse and not worry about your project and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I trust these people. They're intensely creative, wonderful people. And they're great writers. And they're people that I was a fangirl of before I asked him to work on this project. You know, Birgit Fomi, I love all of his stuff. I read all of his stuff, every single word, because I just love it. And Emma, I love all of her writing. And even some of the people I didn't know before this wrote, afterwards I read their stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. And of course I wanted you to work on this. So people, and then people that really haven't written, like Kim, this is the first real thing that she's done on her own big episode.
Good
and
job.
It's amazing. I love it.
Well, it is, you know, I think one thing a lot of people struggle with is a control issue. You know, it's my vision and I need to hold it to whatever. And it's really, it's great to hear somebody that says, I trust them. I trust them.
And there are things that I have put my foot down and been that kind of stickler about. One of them was the discussions about the Buffy bot. Because my vision of the Buffy bot was different than some of our writers' vision of the Buffy bot. And so that, you know, that got into the whole, you know, who's the boss here?
Right, right.
I'm the boss. But on the whole, I think I try really, really hard to say, okay, let's talk about this. Let's, and the writers themselves are really good. We have everybody on a Google group, and they're really good about sending ideas back and forth and saying, hey, I'm stuck here. What do you think this would do? My favorite was Birgit Fomi, who I've mentioned before. He lives in Sweden, right? And so he was like, so why would you want to destroy California? That was my favorite discussion in our writer group.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, and then there were a couple other where he would, like, you know, he put out a joke. He's like, yeah, okay, tell me what you think about this joke.
Yeah.
And it was awesome because, you know, all the writers were able to say, well, okay, here's this, here's that, here's, you know, and it was neat to be able to watch that back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, first of all, I am jealous of you guys. If I could have 100 people working to bring a set of productions to light, I would be blown away. Second of all, you have some of the most incredible actors I've heard, because many of them are so right on that it That's sounds that like girl. The person.
Enya girl.
So, you know, I mean that's a whole another topic, but that's the one thing I did want to say is you know, sometimes when I listen to it, I go, "Wow, that, you know, what is this? I mean, is this a show?" You know, and that just is a testament to, you know, you guys are committed to something that you really love, and also you found people that are just really great. So, you know,
yeah, especially I mean. We were, I think Kim and I were kind of gobsmacked about the amount of people that that auditioned. And that is mostly, I would have to say that was mostly because of Simon from Weedonesque. So shout out to Simon for linking it at Weedonesque.com, which is a giant reservoir of all news that's Whedon related. And he put it up there and people just responded. They wanted to bring the show back. They wanted to voice these characters. And that has to be really, really intimidating. I know for me, because I play Anya, it has been really intimidating because I go, no, I'm not Emma Caulfield, the original actress. But, you know, it's kind of scary to think, oh, fans are going to hate it because I don't sound like her. And but it has been amazing. And being able to work with such a dedicated amount of people, and even to the fact where like A Winter's Tale, is Cobweb is voiced by the extraordinarily talented Christiana Ellis. So she has a lot of experience. And then you have Lyra, who's voiced by a 12-year-old, the daughter of Nick, who plays our Spike.
Spike.
Yeah. And she's only done one other thing before, and that was for The Signal, which was like a month before she recorded this one.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And she did amazing. She was absolutely amazing. So we have such a gamut of resources, and plus the podcasting community is always there when I say, okay, we need this part really small. It's just a couple lines, but I need this line, and people just respond and send me stuff. So we've been very, very blessed.
Well, yeah. And it does go both ways. Cause we also will often lend our voices collectively to other projects out there when they need.
Yes, we were recently on Murder at Avedon Hill. We were the Dead Souls, and there's a couple other productions where most of the actors are people from our cast. So it's been fun. People email us, I have these auditions, can some of your actors try out? And we go, sure. As long as they get our stuff done.
Thanks for sharing. Yes. That's good. Tabs, you are everywhere. I was just kind of looking around at, let's see, you accepted an award for Barely, I think. Where was it?
Barely and Danny at Dragon Con,
right?
For the Podcast Peer Awards.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, you're everywhere. And that's a good thing, but it's just like, you know, you have a life, right? And a job and stuff. So
she's a PR goddess.
Well, I think that is really cool, is that not only are you guys really committed to the acting, but also I think the writing, and there's a huge writing, you know, community out there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that is really cool as well. Miss Kim.
Yes.
Tell me about the Carol of the Bells.
it was the sort of demon piece in that project. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. What I did is I love that song, and so I sort of recruited whoever was interested and able, and I sang the first part and then sent it out to everyone and said, okay, sing filler for me. and Larissa, who is, I've been involved in music for a really long time. And Larissa, who's like, was a music major, helped me quite a bit with it. And she would, she found the music and then she did some of the other additional parts. So she actually is like six of those voices that you hear.
Oh, wow.
And I think I'm like four of them. And then there's Tabs, who's in there a few times. And then there's Clay, who's in there as well. So I was like, can you sing it again for me? So it was a lot of fun. It was a huge challenge. But I had gotten to a point where I think mostly I might have been stalling writing. I can't remember.
Season two.
It's very possible. So I would go, oh, let me work on this song a little more. And so I got it to a place where I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of good. And I had already asked for people to submit songs for the Christmas episode. I wanted sort of your non-standard Christmas music to include with the episode. And it worked out a lot better than I expected, actually.
And it had to be songs that would be 1930s music, not modern music.
Mm.
Yeah. And I really just didn't want like Silent Night in the background, because even though it would fit the time period, I think everybody would sort of hone in on Silent Night and be singing along in their head and miss the actual stuff that was happening in the episode. This, it was sort of an accent that, you know, helped with the whole show.
Well, the Coventry song was beautiful too. So, I mean, the choices that were made, I think, were really done well. So let me wrap my brain around this. So you sang the melody, or did you have a lead melody track that you kind of went by and sent it around, or was it just you?
It was just me.
Holy smoke.
And I timed it to, I like found a MIDI
wow.
on the web, and I timed it to that, and it was a sort of a breakneck pace.
Yeah, it was pretty fast.
Which made it really hard. And then I sped it up, actually, when I edited, too, so it's even faster.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, don't try to sing along at home, people.
No, that's... No, great job on that. That is... I mean, that's just a monumental thing to just start with your voice and then add on to that. Do you guys mix on Audacity, or do you use something else?
I use Audacity.
Okay.
And I use GarageBand, and I know we have a couple of people that use Adobe's sound program. I forget what it's called.
Okay.
And then Cool Edit Pro. It really depends on the person that's editing. But a majority of the people who don't have it use Audacity.
Okay.
Yeah, we have one guy. He's sort of our editing guru, I guess. He uses like six programs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you gotta have the audio geeks doing audio geeky stuff. Okay. big questions here. Here we come. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What season one characters will be coming back for season two?
Willow and Xander and Giles, and well, Buffy really isn't in this season.
That's true.
Buffy's dead.
But she's sort of there.
Yeah. Joyce will be coming around a little bit more. She was only in the flashback kind of ghosty kind of in Giles' head episode, and then she was in Bored to Death, which was a Halloween from before Buffy died. And unfortunately, you know, we're not going to retcon Dawn. As much as I love her, we're not going to add her back into everybody's memories. So Dawn won't be coming back. Anya won't be coming back. And
Spike
will be coming back. But he's at that. It's at the end of season two. So Spike at the end of season two, Spike, not Spike at the end of season five, Spike.
And Tara will be coming back.
And Tara will be coming back for one episode, and Wesley will be coming back for one episode.
And Faith.
And Faith will be coming back for one episode.
Is that all?
I think so. That's all the major ones. Cute coffee guy.
He's definitely coming back.
And Candace and Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, how far ahead do you ladies like to write, have it all locked down? Whole season or little bits at a time?
Technically, we would like the whole season.
Okay.
Oh, that's a funny question.
Kim is laughing because episode 12 is still not written for episode or for season one.
Okay.
It's in my head.
Okay.
I do know it's in her head, though, so I'm feeling okay.
Yeah. But no, all of the other writers that aren't me, we like having it before and a lot before because we were finished, almost finished by June of this year. We started in April with the podcast. And the writers wrote from April to June-ish. And then we started recording in July. So July, August, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, we started casting in July.
That's right.
Late July, I think we've got to start
recording. So we like having them all beforehand. It's just that I'm a slacker.
Well,
yeah, right, my head.
Okay. Let's see. One more geeky question, then we'll kind of widen out a little bit. When you draft out a season, let's say, okay, do you kind of write topics of shows, or is it more kind of a free-flowing thing? How do you set out the path for a season and then kind of break it out from there?
We talked to Emma.
All right.
Emma is one of our writers, and she's amazing. For season one, I only had a few ideas of where I wanted to go. So a bunch of us were talking on Skype, and they kind of gave me a bunch of ideas for that. And we even talked about season two during that big conversation, and that was in April. And
and we took copious notes.
We took copious notes, and then I sat down and figured everything out. But for this season, I just watched the last episode of the last two episodes because it was a two-part finale of season two and the beginning of season three. And Emma and I sat down and talked about a lot of different things that we wanted and kind of grabbed from that previous conversation in April a couple things. But those were big archy kind of things. They were basic ideas of what we wanted to do with the characters and figure out where these characters were. And this season's a lot more disjointed. The characters aren't all in the same place. The gang is kind of split up in a way.
Get a lot of the same, like, you know, you won't get a ton of Spike throughout. You won't get a ton of anyone in particular.
Right. So then I sat down and said, okay, what is the main idea we want to get through? And with season one, it was, the main idea I wanted to get through was all of these characters are great characters in and of themselves. And they have something to bring to the table, and they're strong people in and of themselves. They're great people in and of themselves, but without Buffy, they're going to fail. So that was especially something I wanted to bring out in Tara, who always was kind of a backgroundy kind of character until almost her death. And so I wanted to show that she was strong and more than just Willow's girlfriend. I wanted to show that she was important and she had something to bring to the table for the group, but that the group just couldn't make it without Buffy. And that's kind of where they're going to be at the end of this season. This next one's going to be about responsibility because Buffy's running away from her responsibility to LA, and she's responsible for Angel going to hell. She's responsible for all these things. And the characters, the other characters themselves, have a bunch of responsibilities they have to face. So that's kind of where I go. And then, random people just gave ideas. The writers kind of gave some ideas. We're doing a whole episode next season that's in noir style, which is going to be fun. It's not focused on any of the main characters. It's really focused on one of the very minor characters that people love from Buffy. So I think the main characters only appear in like the last scene of the episode. So it's kind of like those, if you've watched Doctor Who, it's kind of like those doctorless episodes of Doctor Who where there's no doctor. It's just, it's another character that kind of takes center stage. So, and then I just sit there and I said something that we wanted to do last season that didn't quite happen. I'd never thought of kind of planning it out. Was that the scenes in each episode kind of vary. Like, we have one episode where there's 9 scenes altogether. We have another episode where there's like 35.
Wow.
Yep.
So I went ahead and outlined scene by scene what should happen in those scenes and tried to make them all uniform. So we kind of stick within a certain amount rather than having the big disjunction.
And that's crazy with editing.
Sure.
Sound editing.
Yeah. And that was really free form for me. Cause I write, I hate outlines. I hate them with passion. I just kind of write what the characters tell me is going to happen. And I hear them in my head and I hear what they're going to say. And every once in a while I'll try to insert myself into it. And it just doesn't sound right. I go, that doesn't sound like Spike. That doesn't sound like Willow. But other people like Emma, she copiously outlines her stuff and it's amazing. More amazing than mine, so maybe I should outline, but hate it.
one more geeky question, Tabs, and then we'll move forward. Is when you, and I understand this, you write what the voices tell you. Totally get that. Okay, but when you hear it from someone else, do you let them discover the character, or do you kind of match them to what you're hearing?
They discover it because honestly, after I hear my episodes, either it's been so long or I'm just dumb, but I don't remember writing those things. It just sounds so new and so fresh. And even with this Angel minisode, I wrote most of it on Thanksgiving and it was recorded this last week. Or it came out like the week before it was recorded the week before it came out.
I was going to say, you're going to tell us the star secrets there.
I'm going to confuse everybody, but, and it just sounded so fresh and so beautiful and so poignant. And when I was writing it, with this episode, especially with the Angel minisode, it was so personal to me. Like, it had a bunch of me in it that I was like, okay, I know this. Hopefully this sounds like Angel because I'm saying things like I would say them. But Clay took it and made it Angel. He made it sound like Angel. I think the actors – and the actors have told me, and they've said in previous commentaries, you know, the writers put so much into the words that we find our characters in those words. You know, they don't do a lot of – method acting. I don't know. They don't do a lot of character searching. And plus they've seen the characters so much that they love them and know them, but they're so happy with how their dialogue comes out. And every once in a while they'll change something a little bit. They'll change words. And I've told them, go ahead. If it doesn't sound right, just get the gist of the idea and say it how your character would say it.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had to have this, A Winter's Tale, I had to have this script Britified.
Because, yeah, Nick went through and made sure it was British enough.
Yes, because it definitely, you know, I mean, there are a couple things where he's like, yeah, a Brit would never say this. And I was like, okay, fix it, please. And and I was grateful. I was going to ask Emma to do it, but I felt too cowardly. So
we ask Emma to do everything.
It's true. So I was really grateful that he was able to do that. And I know that he does that on occasion for some of the Spike lines that, you know, he maybe just puts things in a different order or something that flows better for him. And that's phenomenal. That's, you know, really awesome.
Or takes out a few bloodies because we, as Americans, love when Spike says bloody and we probably put it in way too much.
Yes. Well, yeah, you need the British folks to help us out. They need to. So.
And that's the cool thing about this cast is it's so international that the cast and crew is so international. Like, we're working on this next season and the writers were talking about, okay, so part of the time they'll be in Spike and Drew are going to South America and part of the time they'll be in Spanish speaking countries and part of the time they'll be in Portuguese speaking countries. And I was sitting there going, we have somebody who speaks Spanish who can translate all that stuff. We have somebody who speaks Portuguese and can translate all that stuff. because we have such a great international crew. And this episode 6 that's coming out next week, hopefully, when you're listening to this, we had some French stuff that needed to be done, and we had somebody who could speak it. So it was awesome.
Amazing. A Winter Tale. Was that originally set as a canon neutral episode?
Gosh, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I guess kind of.
Okay.
I don't know, Tabs, maybe do you remember? I know when we had the conversation.
It started off with us just wanting to do a fairy tale.
Fairy tale. Yeah. So no, I really wanted to do a fairy tale. So yeah, I guess not. It just sort of evolved from there. I really wanted to do a fairy tale, and then I just sort of got this idea of playing around with Grandmother Giles, who was an original character from an earlier episode of ours. I love to use the older episodes of mm-hmm. of things. but that ended up just sort of going from there. So I guess not. Yeah, I guess not. But I kind of like that it turned out that way, because I think in some ways, like, I was able to share it with a lot of my family members who don't know anything about Buffy. Hmm. And I was able to say, here, this is what I've been working on. I know that this will still make sense to you. I don't have to go and explain a huge amount of backstory for you to really appreciate this. And I mean, of course, if somebody knows the show, they'll appreciate it a lot more. But at the same time, it was nice to be able to have that.
Well, and that's important, especially when you're doing something that's done by the fans. It can get really deep, and somebody who is maybe a casual viewer or maybe a non-viewer will listen and go, I don't know what's going on here. but if you can capture, like, a Winter Tale, something that, you know, is timeless, and something that can be, you know, approached and it's like, wow, it's, oh, okay, I get this. Then you may have somebody that go, well, what's happening next time? You know, so, yeah, good show. You know? Yeah. Have you guys ever considered doing a completely original material? Just,
it's been given to me that we should, and it would be fun in a way, but we have so many things that we want to do within the fandom that it would be 2020 before we could even consider doing anything else. So, yes.
Not currently.
Yeah, not currently. And plus, Kim and I run our own podcasts, and I am part of a couple other podcasts. So it just, we don't have the time for it. We've even been asked by people to do their audio dramas for them. Okay. They'll write it and we produce it, and we just don't have the time as much as we would love to. But
yeah, I mean, we've been given some great ideas. People ask us all sorts of interesting things.
They really do.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we kind of talked about season 2, and I think the question of any future projects, I mean, has been answered too. I think you're going to be Buffied out for a while.
We'll be Buffied out for one more season.
Okay.
And then we're going to be Angeled out.
Okay.
And then we're going to be Firefly'd out. So, right. And in between there, we'll do Sugar Shock. So we'll be, but if, you know, and if Joss, eventually the writer's strike ends and support your writers, people, and we get Dollhouse, maybe one day we'll be Dollhoused out too.
Yeah. But I think right now what we have currently, we sort of have one season of Angel between the lines, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, in the back of our brains, and then one of Firefly between the lines, and I don't know if we'll expand either of those, but
yeah, currently it takes us up into 2010, so we don't really want to plan beyond 2010.
Yes.
Well,
but we definitely have those in the works and in our heads, and I'm gonna have my musical. Sorry.
Yes, if anybody was confused and doesn't listen to anything else, there will be an Angel musical episode in Angel Between the Lions.
Okay.
That is the current plan.
Well, this has been fantastic, gals. It's been a great time. And I have to tell you, somebody that's come in from the outside has just been really totally blown away by what you ladies have put together and what you guys are involved in. And it is great. I loved A Winter's Tale. I think it's an awesome episode into itself. I think, you know, that there's a lot of depth to it, and we've kind of talked about different edges. But any final thoughts, maybe any little extra tidbits to get to whet people's appetite about season two, or any final thoughts?
If you're interested in being part of season two, the application is up on BetweenTheLinesStudios.com, and eventually, hopefully by the time you hear this, I'll have a link to it on the BuffyBetweenTheLines.com. And it's all crew right now. There are no voice acting stuff up yet, but that will be up very, 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 very soon. So keep your mics and your recording software handy. We can talk about...
Go out and get one if you don't have it.
We can talk about characters that do show up in season two. If you have missed her, Cordelia shows up in season two. Oz shows up in season two. Riley shows up in season two. The mayor shows up in season two. Lindsay and Lila show up in season two.
Harmony
shows up in season two. And
Drusilla.
Drusilla. I know that I have missed her. So there's a lot. And there's a couple other people that you'll probably be surprised about. So stay tuned. And
if you want to play any of those parts, yes, casting will be up and running shortly.
Yeah, probably late February. It really depends on how motivated I get to write scripts. Because I'm behind again. And then I think just thank you, guys. And if you're listening to this and you're a fan, thank you, thank you, thank you. Send us feedback and love. That keeps us going. It really does, honestly.
It really does. Every time we get a new iTunes review or a new, you know, email, we'll like publish it to everyone and say, oh my gosh, we've got a new one. And everybody goes and checks and, you know, it's like, oh, I love that they said this. So yes, we definitely appreciate all of it.
Yep, you guys are awesome, and as we have said before, this is why we do what we do. We love the fans of Joss Whedon and want to give you more, more and more and more of everything. So keep listening.
Please do. Keep listening and keep giving your reviews and drop a little encouraging emails here and there.
And you should tell them, Jeff, who you are, because you didn't
please name.
Well, my name is Jeff Roney. We're working on a project right now to release coming in about a month. It's called New World Army, and it's a futuristic audio thriller with a female hero. So
Buffy fans will love that.
It's the most bold project I've ever done, and it's a multi-episode thing, so I'm kind of taking notes here listening to you gals. But
Google Groups are your friend.
Yeah.
Google Docs are your friend.
I need to pay money to Google Docs. I think I've filled my slot up. So,
oh no!
But yeah, we're excited about that. But I'm always excited to get to know other folks.
The URL that people can find you at?
Oh, jrdonline.com. We have some comedy stuff and some other stuff. But yeah, New World Army is coming. But anyway, this has been just a bang up blast, and thanks so much for the opportunity, and just great talking to you gals. Okay,
thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I want to thank you for joining us for Buffy Between the Lines commentary of A Winter's Tale. This is Jeff Roney, and I want to thank our guests Tabitha Smith and Kim Butler.
Proximity alert. It must be coming up on something.
Oh my god. What can it be?
A Firefly podcast.
We're all doomed.
Sir, do you think this is wise? What if they find out about the origami caper?
I don't think that's ever getting old.
Well, I think it's shiny. A whole podcast about us.
Just do it right.
Tales from the Verse. Stories of Firefly and Serenity.
What are you doing here?
Well, you invited me.
Never thought for a second you'd be stupid enough to come.
Pick up Tales from the Verse with your favorite podcatcher. And remember, this is not an alliance trap.